I am your jacked up genetic freak. You are.
Blog
That's
Talk
what
Radio.
For you. What the hell is that? Get it to me again.
Go ahead, you got
it. Just play the music. Play the music
you
before I have a stroke.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
Can I do it now?
I think you're ready.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I am your jacked-up genetic freak again. Your mythological cult hero, the guru of maniacism, the man with the 21.5-inch arms, and they could be 22 again, they probably are, the 63.75-inch chest, and that's without razor stubble, the real big neck, and you all know what's extremely potent, because I have two very handsome boys. I am the masked maniac. This is my cohort in crime. Uncle
Michael Z.
Mikey Zivon.
That's
and
right.
I don't know where Mikey is. He's probably hanging out in Kanishnash. But I am coming to you live, sitting in the car at the parking lot of the Contemporary Hotel, while my two out-of-control boys are philandering around Magic Kingdom, chilling with Belle, as their good friend sets up a little meet and greet for them today. So, Mikey, you are now a couple.
Yeah, it's amazing. They let anybody do that these days.
It's unbelievable. Forget that. They let anybody be parents.
For real. Yeah, so, yeah. Big J had a kid. So, he's got a little girl now.
Cool.
Samantha
and actually,
Danielle.
Nice. And actually, your brother Jay lost, like, what, 800 pounds?
Yeah, well, he 200, actually.
He lost 200 pounds?
Yeah, all on his own. Dieting.
And he didn't understand why I used to call him Hillbilly Cousin Jay.
No, he knew who he was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's
but
cool,
yeah,
Mikey.
He did it all on his own.
No, that's really good, you know. But
mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Jay. Congratulations to you, Mikey.
Thank you, sir.
Mikey, I got to tell you something. I got to start out. Mm-hmm. I hate to always start out with pooping. Pooping is always seems to be the major subject with me. But I got to tell you
it's
something.
It's part of our life, man. We just
it's
have to
part of
it
our
as
life.
We get older.
It drives me crazy. But I got to tell you something. You know, everybody says to me, oh, man, you live at Disney. Oh, it's the greatest. You go to Disney every day. How do you eat at the Liberty Tree Tavern 3 times a week, sometimes it's more, Mikey. And I
mm-hmm.
got to tell you something. I really want to explain something to people that listen in and the people that carry on how jealous they are. While, of course, the quality of life is so much better here because I get to rub oil all over myself, put a Speedo in, and lay out at random pools every day. But people don't get how bad the food is living in a tourist area. I mean, Mikey, you know, people make jokes that Florida has no delis. They make jokes that Florida has no pizza. They have no bagels. They have no diners. But you don't realize something. It's actually not a joke. There is none. There's none. You
right.
eat pizza here. You know, if all you know is Florida pizza, you know, if you're born here and that's all you know, Then you look at me like I'm crazy, and you say how great the pizza is. I don't think I've ever eaten pizza in the state of Florida and not been pooping within 15 minutes.
That's rough.
I don't know how I weigh 260 pounds because all I do is poop here. You know, pizza. Now, and I'll tell you what. So today I go to Disney with the boys. We're at Epcot. And the boys want to eat at Via Napoli. So I figure, you know what? What the hell, right? So I just walk in there, and they take us right away. All these people do, carry on. Oh, I got to book my reservation 32 years in advance. I walked in there at 11 o'clock, 11:30. I said, oh, you got a table for three? Okay. So they take us, right? We sit
right
down. It takes me 5 minutes to figure out that the kid talking to me is the water guy. That's who he is. He doesn't handle
okay
drinks. I said, oh, we'll have an iced tea and he'll have this. No, no, I just take a water. So what do you mean you just take a water? Where are you going to take it? He says, no, no. He goes, you want a bottled water? I said, yeah, it's free. No, no, you have to pay for the bottled water. I said, so I'm coming in here and I got to pay for water? He said, no, just go over to the toilet and scoop some out. I'll have that. He's still trying to figure out what I'm talking about. So right off the bat, there is, you know, I'm trying to figure out this situation with why this guy comes asking me about water. So then the girl comes, and she takes the order. Willie gets just chicken cutlets, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
$30. It's $30 for a piece of chicken and three little round potatoes. I don't know what to say.
God. Mm-hmm.
So, I order a pizza. All I want is a regular pizza for the three of us, right? I don't want
right
anything else. $43. The hell did I get myself into? And so, Dylan wants spaghetti and meatballs. I'm warning him, Dylan, don't do this. They come out, the meatballs, Mikey, I swear to God, because I'm a Chef Boyardee expert. I know my Chef
right
Boyardee.
Okay.
The meatballs were the same size as Chef Boyardee. Cost me $100.
How much did he charge for that?
$100 for everything.
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting there saying to myself, yo, Dylan didn't even make it out of the restaurant. He's pooping there. You know? $100.
Right.
I'm saying to myself, Mikey, I could have gone to Ruth Chris. You know? No pizza.
Right.
How do you not have a diner in this whole state? You know, I see places that say diner, but they're not. I want
mm-hmm
a diner. I want an effing diner. How long
right,
did
right
these Greek people get some Greek people here open a diner? I want Dylan.
So wait, what's going on with the diners that they claim they have? What's
they're
the difference
not
between that and a New York diner?
They're not diners, Mikey. They're Perkins. Perkins puts a sign outside that says diner.
Okay.
You know, it's ridiculous.
And what kind of food do they serve?
Perkins food!
Yeah, we
which
need to send some Greeks down to Florida.
Even the pancakes we eat. You know, I want Dylan.
So,
hold on. I want Dylan. So everybody says,
yeah.
Go to TJ's. TJ's is the best Dylan. All right? Yeah. Oh, by the way, Mikey, I completely forgot to tell you. My wife's in New York, right?
Okay.
Hook up with her tomorrow. Will you meet her? She'll pay you. Will you
sure
get her some conditions?
Of course.
All right, I'll text her her phone number now. She's in the city now. But she's going to bring
okay
me back conditions. And see, my wife, she doesn't eat them. So my wife's not going to steal the conditions like your wife did. Okay? So anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Wait, how long is she here for?
Just a couple of days. She has a trade show at the Jazz.
Okay, good.
All right. So, and she's going to get me my Jew cookies in the city, so you don't have to worry about it. And before everybody
okay
starts carrying on, oh, Jew, he's a racist. I'm Jewish, okay? I can say Jew. So, you know what, Dylan? Everybody says, oh, TJ's, go to TJ's. It's the best. TJ's, never heard of a square knish. They give you sauerkraut in a little cup that you have to put on your set. It's disgusting. Mikey, the corned beef comes frozen, delivered every morning.
Oh.
I mean, if this is, where do I live? Where do I live?
Yeah.
At least,
I mean,
at least if I go to Liberty Tree, for just my wife and I, where the kids are all frolicking and tormenting people in the park, it only costs us $55. But this is crazy.
Wow. That is
horrible. I love eating at the Liberty Tree. I do. But it's a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a necessity.
Right.
I don't have a choice. I go to Publix, everything's stale. God forbid, something says buy one, get one free at Publix, you run the other way.
Wow.
It's horrible.
This is bad.
It's so bad. I'm using a whole tube of cortisone every 2 days because I got rashes all over. I'm scratching under my wiener. I'm scratching my butt. I got permanent rashes from all this crap.
You see, my problem isn't with pooping. My problem is with wiping. I'm really tired of it. I just can't do it no more. You know,
so
but
stop.
I don't know what to do.
No,
I have no choice.
Your wife's not leaving you. Just stop the wiping.
Yeah, you think just go raw dog it and that's it?
Like, look at you. Look at you in the mirror, okay? Is she gonna listen? At this point, is she leaving you?
No, she's not.
You know, I say to my wife all the time. I say to her all the time. I say, she's like, you know, you stink today. I'm like, yeah, but you want to know what? I can't smell any worse than this. This is it. It can't get any worse. You know? It just
That's
can't
so
get
funny.
Worse. Plus, you know the coolest thing about marrying an Australian girl?
What
and is this,
that?
This caused me so much trouble when I had my old Mass Maniac show. Let me tell you a funny thing I said. This shows you how dumb Australian people are, even though I married a great one. And I love my family in Australia. I love everyone in my family. But listen to this. Everybody out there in Mass Maniac land, listen to this. Check this out. I'm talking about how when I lived in Australia, wrestling was behind like 6 months. Like, in some cases, I'm watching a wrestling show from a year earlier. And I'm talking about how stupid they are, which they're really not because I love them. I'm talking about how all the girls get pregnant at 13. I'm talking about how all the men have horrible BO, which, Mikey, it's so bad. It's so bad. No matter how bad I might smell, on my worst day, if I poop all over myself, I smell better than any Australian guy. So I'm talking about how they smell. I'm talking about how they're dumb. I'm talking about how they're behind in wrestling for 6 months. I talk about how the girls get pregnant. I talk about all that stuff. I get 1,000 hate mail letters. Now, one of them talk about how dumb they are, how bad they smell. How dare I say TV's behind 6 months?
That's awesome.
So I don't know what to say, you know? Yeah, so, but when we lived there, Willie was like 10. They wanted to put Willie in high school. And they didn't want to put him in high school because he was a super genius. They wanted to put him in high school because that's what 10-year-olds are up to in this country compared to that country.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, we're behind here, huh?
Yeah, but anyway, getting back to smelling, Mikey, I'm telling you, what, really, our wives are going to leave us for what? You know,
yeah, they're not going
anywhere. I mean, really. My wife's been through 22 years of my horrible, I mean, look, I've never smoked in my life. I've never drank in my life. I've never taken drugs. I don't take steroids. I very rarely curse, except as the Mass Maniac. I barely randomly hit people in the streets. I mean, look, what do I do? So I smell a little bit, you know? So I look down and I haven't seen my penis since 1989. You know,
and how about all the people? How about all the disgusting people we surrounded them with all those years?
Oh yeah, I mean, look, all the people that we've let our wives around, we look like Elvis.
Right, exactly.
You know, when I used to run the wrestling shows in New York, I'm telling you, I looked like freaking Elvis at those shows compared to some of the people. Used to say, "Oh, Frank, man, you got some bad looking retarded people." Said the retarded words, and I don't care. Frank, you have all these nut jobs around here. I said, yeah, but look how good I look. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know. But listen, Mikey, funny thing. So off the Disney thing for a second, off our smelling.
Yeah.
one of our favorite people in the whole world, low-life Louis Ramos, retires from wrestling, right?
Right,
I
got to
tell you, I personally think Louis should have done it a long time ago because he's going to get killed. And I'll tell you something, Mikey. You know, for those of you who don't know, I am the greatest independent wrestling promoter of all time. Isn't that true, Mikey? It's not even an argument.
Absolutely. 100%.
I got to tell you, from 1993 to 2001, you know, I'm seating 1,000 almost every night. Almost every show I do in New Jersey and New York, I'm seating 1,000 people, Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm being as honest as I can. The shows were so goddamn boring, Maggie. You don't have a clue.
Right.
You just don't know. I mean, there was a point where I was running New Jersey, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the same Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week, but it's the same show. You'd have King Kong Bundy versus Bam Bam Bigelow, Greg the Hammer Valentine versus Jimmy Snuka, Tito Santana versus Rocco Rock. It was you'd have one really great match on the show. You'd have Devin Storm and Ace Darling against the Misfits. It was the tag team Derek Domino and Harley Lewis, I think it was. And that would be it would be like two matches that were great, and they'd be like, you're coming to see famous people. But I would get these huge crowds. And the shows were just, it really was like a running carnival. The shows were just like, I wouldn't go. And then all of a sudden, I met you, and you introduced me to bringing in these other guys. Like, you know, your doghouse guys, who were all the guys that were trained by Homicide and Mr. Malcontent Loki, Mr. don't go to your father, you know? So you talked me into using these guys, and Louis was one of them. And all of a sudden, my shows became, you know, we're still seating 1,000 people a show. In some cases, we're seating 700-800, but the shows were just amazing. You know, we would do like 8-hour shows, but you'd have like 15 matches, which of course is too many. Four of them would just be so bad you couldn't control yourself. They were so bad that they were good. They were so bad that you couldn't stop from watching them because they were the worst wrestlers you ever saw, but they were basically paying me to be on the show, which is cool. As long as they were trained, which they were. But then you'd have the famous guys. And then you'd have the guys who you introduced me to. You'd have, you know, Loki, and who I just can't stand. Makes me sick to my stomach, Mike. Biggest malcontent I ever met. You know? Let me tell you something. For somebody with so much talent to be everything he speaks out against. You know what I mean? You must be respectful. You must be... Yeah, everybody must be respectful except for him.
Right,
he could not be respectful, you know? And I got to tell you, I used to like him. I used to say to myself, you know what? I like him. He's a nice guy, quiet guy. He's all right. And then he said something really stupid, which irritated me. And you know what he said? He had this really good match with Sanjay Dutt. And he went on and did some interview or something. And in the interview, he said he wishes the match would have taken place anywhere else but my show, which just shows what a moron he is. Because at the time, I'm seating 1,000 people, and every other show he's on has 50 people.
Right.
And so he'd rather do a show in front of 50 people. But he was just... His malcontentness irritated me. And then I liked him again because he acted like an idiot at one of my shows and he punched the wall and he broke the wall. And when he broke the wall, I looked at him and I just said to him, get on your knees and clean it up. And you know what he did, Mikey? He didn't act like an idiot to me. He didn't act like a moron. He got on his knees and he cleaned up his mess.
Right.
You know, and thank God I didn't get in trouble and have to pay for the wall, because actually he would have paid for the wall.
Right.
But regardless, you know, we had him and we had Homicide, who would have these amazing matches on the shows. And Louis, Louis was all of a sudden you have this fat guy, right? Who who blows my mind because it does to Louis' dying day. What does he call me, Mikey?
Master Goodman.
Master Goodman. If Louis is just the man. It's Master Goodman this, Master Goodman that. Louis is just he treats you with such respect. You cannot treat him with any less. And while Louis was technically really not very good, he really was the greatest hardcore wrestler I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he staple guns his penis to his thigh or something. He put a rubber penis in his mouth and stapled his mouth shut. I mean, there were just things I never, you know, I had guys like Norman Smiley begging me to wrestle Louis because they didn't ever saw anything like this. And I got to say, there was just one of two mistakes I actually will come out and just say, boy, this was a mistake, was Louis was just winning every match and the fans were going nuts. And for some reason, I somehow had him wrestle Balls Mahoney and I had Balls Mahoney beat him. I actually should have had Louis beat Balls Mahoney. And even if it was just for one night, Louis should have been the champion because it was such a role.
Yeah.
Such a role going on. So that was a horrible mistake. And, of course, next after Blasi, paying me to do an angle with Louis and paying a lot of my bills to let him do that. But that was just that whole thing was such a terrible mistake, and I felt like it brought Louis down, that we would never able to get him back up. Then the second mistake, of course, was, and poor Timmy, you know, Tim Arson, who passed away this year. That was the other mistake, was Timmy used to beg me. And Timmy started out as a real ticket seller for me. And if you don't know who Timmy is, Timmy in ECW for the one night was the zombie. And Timmy would beg me, Frank, please, I love the company. Frank, let me do this great match. Let me have this great match. And I gave Timmy some pretty good matches. But, you know, as the years went on, I watched and I said to myself, you want to know what? I should have done more. Because once I started running the shows here in Florida, Mikey, the guys in New York loved the shows. They loved the shows. Just they loved them. The guys out here in Florida, it's a payday. Or even if it's not a payday, because I, God knows I don't pay very well because I'm Jewish, it's they wanted to work. It was a place for them to wrestle. They didn't care about me. They didn't care about the shows. They just cared about wrestling, which there have been no obligation to care about me or my shows. They're really not.
Right.
But the New York guys did. They did care. And at the time, of course, you wrestle on my shows, and all of a sudden people see you, and you wind up, you know, in WWE or WCW or ECW or WWE. So people cared. People don't care anymore. You know, I mean, look, people don't care about my shows. That's why I don't do them anymore. But, you know, those are the two things I think that really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Did you ever hear about the spot that Louis was working on? He wanted to have somebody, I think it was a match against Bison. He wanted to have Bison staple gun alive.
Oh, you mean Bison who better send me my $75 for the baseball league?
That's right.
That
so
Bison.
He wanted Bison. He wanted to staple gun a live earthworm to his forehead and then go under the ring, pull out a cage with a live chicken in it, throw the chicken at Louis where he would catch the chicken and the chicken would peck at his head because the worm is on his head.
Oh, see, I would have done that.
How great
I definitely would have done that.
I heard that on
the
tears.
That was such. That was such great stuff we used to do. I mean, Balls used to beg me all the time, Frank, let's do flaming tables. And every time I brought it up to the athletic commission, they would say, no way. Even with you know how they would like try to get me for what's that called when they begged me for money?
Yeah,
they'd be like, oh, you know, give me $1,000, you can do anything. Even that one they wouldn't go with.
Yeah, Louis also did that spot where he had Bison take his boot off and cut his foot open and then squeeze a lemon into it. which is pretty crazy.
Oh, that's the archive. I miss that stuff. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, Mikey. You know, if I had people here that made the shows, made me want to do it, I would do it.
Right.
I would do it, but there is just, I just don't have those, and I've said it before, I just don't have that loyal group of guys. You know, there's a couple guys I'm friends with, like I always say, you know, Fatso Ciasso. You know, I'm not close friends with him, but, you know, I mean, I'd always use him, and, you know, I'd always use Simon Says, but he runs his own shows, and, you know, when you deal with people who do their own thing, they're not going to give you their everything, and that's what you need. And, you know, Mikey, when you only run 5-6 times a year, you know, I used to run 40 times a year. But when you only run 5-6 times a year, you're really not that important to other wrestling, to other wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't expect them to do, you know.
But you can't run shows without having a good group of guys with you that you could trust, that you know will do legwork and handle the things that you know that you need done.
That's what baffles me with, like, Sabbath Stiffer. You know, Jack is running again. He's going to run his shows again. And I'm looking at this, and he's booking. You know what? Let me tell you what bothers me. For those of you who don't know, Sabbath Stiffer is a longtime friend of mine, friend of all of ours. But, you know, Jack, you know, he's bounced a couple hundred checks, no exaggeration. He cancels. I mean, he seriously canceled more shows than he's run. But he has this problem where he can't stop running the shows, and he has to run them with people that don't like him. Like, I'm looking at his next show coming up, and he's using Samoa Joe. And I got to tell you a funny thing, and I don't remember if Samoa Joe remembers. I think he does. Samoa Joe swore to God he'd never work for Jack again. Jack canceled on him too many times. He hates Jack. He dislikes Jack. All of a sudden, he's working for Jack. But Jack seems to have a problem with that. Jack used Jack at one point owed Balls Mahoney like $5,000. Because he booked Balls Mahoney for 10 wrestling shows. And he said to Balls before that, if I cancel, I'm giving you $500 a show. So he canceled all 10. And, you know, Balls didn't stop talking about it. Balls was like, I want my money, you're a piece of crap, I'm going to burn your sword down, I'm going to burn your child's ears off, I'm going to do all these things to you. And Jack was freaking out. All Jack cared about was putting Balls on one of his shows so he can tell us that everybody's a liar and it's not true. You know, so Ball, he finds Balls when Balls is so desperate. You know, Balls is just like, I'll take anything. You know, Balls will work for bubblegum at this point. Jack puts him on a show. Well, if I really owed him $5,000, he was really going to burn my child's toes off. Why is he working for me now? That's all Jack cares about is using guys so he could say everybody's lying about him. Well, if I really want 20 checks on him, why is he working for me? So he's doing the show, and I'm looking at this, Mikey, and he's doing it in a building that holds 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to need to sell 300 tickets to break even, maybe more, probably more.
Right.
Plus, he probably needs 500 tickets to break even.
Right, at like $25, $30 a pop.
Yeah. I mean, if he sells the building out, he's going to lose $5,000, $6,000. But the problem is, Jack doesn't sell the building out because he gives you the tickets. He's advertising
right
now. Put flyers out for me, and I'm going to give you free tickets.
That's amazing. And you know what's funny about when he does shows is that he'll do a show and he'll have his titles, and like, you know, a year and a half later, he'll be like, and the next title defense, a year and a half later, you know? Just retire the belts. If you want to do a show, but put those belts away. They have no purpose, no meaning, you know?
I know. Funniest thing is when he owed me money and he gives me, he had the ECW pay-per-view ring, Jack owed me like $8,000. So he just buys the ECW pay-per-view ring from Tommy Dreamer for like $12,000. I don't remember what it was exactly. So Jack winds up owing me money and he gives me the ring. So then he buys the ring back for me for like $10,000. He pays me like $5,000 of it. Then he's like, I don't want to run shows anymore. Keep the money and keep the ring. And he did the same thing with the belts. You know, I'll fly that Valkyrie for $2,000. Okay, pays me $1,000. I don't want to run shows anymore. Here's the belt and here's $1,000. You know, and then he's not buying from me again. I don't know. But so I'll tell you a funny one. I put up a post on the USA Pro Wrestling fan page, and I'm just like, what was your most memorable USA Pro Wrestling moment? I figured a bunch of the New York people would write, but instead a couple of the Florida people wrote. And then you have this one schmuck, this spineless turd. Let's just call him Chris. This little spineless Chris, who I always thought was an okay fan, but he was annoying. He walks around with like 97 belts around his waist. The cool thing is he actually made a USA Pro Wrestling belt that he would wear, which I always thought was cool. So, you know, he'd come to all the shows. He would be so annoying. I actually had other fans who would say, hey, I don't want to sit near him. I think there's something wrong with him. I had wrestlers tell me, hey, if he talks to me, I'm going to reach over the barricade and hit him. And I'm like, he can't. He's like, well, he annoys us at every show. I've had other wrestling promoters tell me, Frank, could you not use him? Could you not let him come to your show? Because we don't want him at our show. And I'm like, I can't do that. And now I see, of course, why. So he writes, well, because you can't, because of all the cancellations. That's my most memorable moment. And I'm like, I've run over 700 shows, Mikey. I've canceled maybe 13 or 14 of them, right? Now, granted, now I'm going to be very honest. Granted, out of that 13 or 14, probably 7 or 8 of them were in the last 2 years running Florida. But, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, nothing. I mean, the toilets overflowed once at the armory and the place smelled like poop. His poop, right? There were a lot of, you know, in one instance, the stove broke, right? And I can't say to everybody, I got to cancel the show because the stove broke. Because on the outside, it sounds like what? Well, pretty minor thing to cancel a show because the stove broke. But the fact is, there were some shows in Florida where we made so much money off food, that was how we kept the show going. You know what I mean? I mean, because food here for us is a huge thing. You know, we're talking about 200-300 hamburgers. And we had to. You know, so there were a lot of things like that. And so I understand. I don't hold a grudge against fans for being upset or wrestlers for being upset that I've canceled, you know. I mean, look, I've canceled half the amount of shows that I've canceled over 20 years, all in 2 years, you know, 6 or 7 shows. But I mean, you know, you got to remember, I'm not like other promoters. Many other promoters run shows so they can say, hey, I'm a wrestling promoter. What do you think of that? Or I want to hang around with the wrestlers. I'm a promoter.
Right.
I got 2 kids and a wife. I ran wrestling shows to make money. When there was no money, I couldn't do it. You know, and then the other thing was, people would carry on. Oh, you have so many guys no show. Very easy thing to explain. When I was running shows in New York, Mikey, I would book what, 20 famous guys on the shows.
Sure.
20 famous guys. So you know, if 3 or 4 guys cancel or don't show up, you know what? The odds are pretty good. I had 16, 17 famous guys to recover. Here, out here in Florida, and many guys didn't miss my New York shows because they didn't want to lose so many paydays.
Mm-hmm.
Out here, I'm using the same guys, and I'm using this, and everybody's like, Frank, we want you to use Sabu, we want you to use the Sandman, we want you to use all these guys, and they're telling me this is what they want. So I'm booking them. The problem is, I'm not booking young, great, in shape, clean, reliable guys. You're asking me for guys that have issues. And when somebody with no show, like, and I'm not going to say who in each situation. Well, with Sandman, I'll say this. You know, Sandman was in jail. I bought him an airline ticket. What was I supposed to do? He was in jail for 9 months. He thought he was getting out. He didn't get out. You know, the guy got arrested. He didn't get out. He couldn't. the show. He apologized. He said he'd come to a future show. I didn't run a future show. I'm now, therefore, stuck with the airline ticket. You know?
Right.
We have another guy, who I won't say, but was former ECW guy. Well, the guy had needles or something at the airport. They wouldn't let him on the plane. You know? Now, keep in mind, that's the story they told me. I can't tell you if this is what it is, but that's the story they told
right.
me. You know,
right.
am I supposed to stand in the middle of the ring and say, hey, this is the deal. I bought him a ticket. Then you have an instance where somebody's our champion. And the guy works 5 days a week. And the guy says, hey, Frank, is there anything you can do to let me off the hook? You know, I only get paid this kind of amount from you, and it's not a lot. And if I don't go to work, I could lose my job. Am I supposed to stand in the middle of the ring and say, all world champion? You got to remember, wrestling has to create illusion. They don't want to know
right.
that you work at a 9-to-5 job. Am I supposed to say, hey, our champion couldn't come tonight because he doesn't have the money to drive 12 hours. He doesn't want to fly. And if he doesn't go to work, he's out of a job. You
right.
know? What am I supposed to say? Another instance
yeah.
was, well, I had a partner in the show, and the partner decided not to show up. And I got to tell you, as stupid as it sounds, it happens. And this is what
right.
happens when you run these crummy indie shows. Now, those things didn't happen in New York, and if they did, it was very rare. But when you see 1,000 people, and there's this kind of money coming in, and you have wrestlers that are seriously 45 minutes away. If somebody doesn't show up in New York, you make a phone call from the building, and you got a named guy there. In
right.
Florida, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And it's very hard to explain to fans. You know, because you know out here, you know, I think I've developed a reputation as somebody who cancels 25% of the shows he runs, and will have, you know, you're seeing 10 famous guys listed on the flyer, and you know that these guys won't come. Not all of them, but they're all
right.
booked. You know, you book every one of them. But what are you supposed to do? I remember I had Valentine and Beefcake booked, and it was for a Florida show. And when Beefcake, and I really don't talk about this too much, when Beefcake first lost his job in WCW years ago, with a moment, he would seriously call me 3 in the afternoon, can you use me? Absolutely. And I put him on the show that night because I had such a big crowd coming that I could afford to add on a famous guy like that with no notice. And I would do it.
Right.
So I book him out here, and he writes to me, I want to say, I wrote to him a week before, and I said, you know, you're being advertised for a show in upstate New York. It might not have been upstate New York, but something like that. I said, you know, I saw on the internet you're being advertised. He said, no. He said, it's the night before. I said, all right. So I actually contacted the promoter, and he's like, no. He goes, I got Valentine and Beefcake book on both those shows, Friday and Saturday. And, you know, I just said to myself, you know what, I'm just not going to play the game. I'm just not going to play the game. So I contacted
right.
Beefcake. And I said, hey, is this true? Well, I have a feeling you weren't going to use me on the show. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you know, you send me half my pay and I just won't come. I said, wait a minute, but you're booked on another show. I said, you double booked yourself. I said, you weren't coming to my show anyway. Well, how
right.
do you know that? I said, well, because you're in another state on Friday. Am I really going to expect you're coming back for me? So, you know, I actually explained the whole thing to Valentine. And Valentine actually did show up to the show.
Right.
And, but I mean, those are the things that happen. What do you how do you explain that to the fans?
Well, they don't understand. They don't understand that.
They don't. And that was the problem with out here. I used to be Raven's booking agent. So I would book Raven on other people's shows. And in return, he would work for me for such a cheap price that it made it feasible to use so many different guys. And so I would just put him on my shows since I was doing a lot of his booking for him. And Raven in New York might have worked for me 50 times. Out of those 50 times, Mike, he never missed a show. But he never missed a show for me in New York because here's a guy giving him 50 shows. If he knows shows, he's going to lose that, isn't he? Plus, he's getting booked on other people's shows by me. So I put Raven on my Florida shows, and while he would show up to them, if a better offer came, and you've got to remember something, from other promoters, Raven was getting three times from other people what he was getting from me. So when Raven comes to me and says, "Hey, Bobby, I get a chance to go to Australia and make $5,000. Well, Mikey, am I supposed to say to him, "Hey, Scott, you have to come and take the $500, $600 from me, and screw that $5,000 you can make"? Am I supposed to do that? Of course not. I'm not a piece of crap. But am I supposed to say to the fans, "Hey, guys, you know, Raven's, you know, I said it's okay for Raven to go work for somebody else because it's more money"? You can't do that. You can't take the illusion away. So I try my best to replace them. And those are the type of things that happen. And fans just don't get it. They don't get it. Now, when you run smaller type shows and you only use one or two famous guys on those shows, then you expect for those one or two guys to show. Am I right, Mikey?
Yeah, of course.
But if you use 5, 7, 8, 10 famous guys, you got to expect something to happen. You don't want it to.
Right.
But it does. The odds are against you. You know, these guys...
Right, and you know...
So
when we were running in New York, you would have that many guys on the show, the fans wouldn't even realize there were like another 5 to 7 other big names just hanging out in the back.
They weren't even on the show. People don't get that. You know, I make these jokes all the time, and I say to people, I used to run USA Pro Wrestling. I know what Ring of Honor is. And I'm like, yeah, well, Ring of Honor came from us. If it wasn't for USA Pro Wrestling, Bob Feinstein doesn't make Ring of Honor. He said that.
Yeah, I never heard that. Oh, I don't really give a crap what you heard. It is what it is. You know?
I mean, I remember I ran the Ox Lodge. I had 1,350 people. ECW ran it, had 900, and claimed they had a sellout.
Right.
We're talking days away. I let Ring of Honor run my building with my license, because I was the licensed promoter for their New York shows in the early days. I would see 900 in the Elks Lodge on a Saturday. They ran that building the day before me, and had barely 200 paid. Barely. And I know because I did the athletic commission paperwork. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, fans just don't, they don't get what goes on at these shows. They don't get the bottom feeding. You know, like these wrestlers, they're not going to say to you what I just said. They're not going to say, I got a better offer. No, they're going to turn around and trash the promoter.
Right.
But, you know, this is just how it is. It's how it is. You know, there is a bunch of wrestlers out there that I just don't talk to anymore, famous guys. And they'll trash me whatever chance they get. Yeah, they'll trash me because I'm not going to ever use them again.
Right.
You know, I'm not. You know, you get the drug addict who doesn't want a job to this guy, and I say, well, fine. You don't want to lose to this guy. Well, I'm never going to use you again. And then you have guys like Disco Inferno, who I'd love to use every show, who says to me, "Frank, why do you continue to use drug addicts?" He says it to me all the time. Why? You know, and he's so right. As much as I hate to say it, he's so right. He says, "Frank, you have guys no show, and you have problems because the guys you're using are drug addicts." And I try to explain to him, "You're right.
But these, how many of them are?
It's crazy.
You know, people want to see these old ECW guys. Well, I hate to tell you something, but my former 14-time world champion has one tooth in his mouth. You know, this is, you know, that's another reason I had to. I don't want my kids around this, you know. I don't know. So much on crummy wrestling, Mikey. All right, listen, we better move on to something else. But we probably, God, we probably have so many Disney people listening that don't even know anything about wrestling and don't want to, you know.
Right. So did you hear about Chris Johnson, our former running back?
Are you shocked?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Really? I mean,
you know?
Never in my life have I had an instance where I was near a gun. And it's in a drive-by the week he gets released, you know?
It really
so
is unbelievable how these
tell
guys...
Everybody, tell everybody, what's the story?
So Chris Johnson... I think he's actually down by you, right, in Orlando?
Yeah,
he's in Orlando,
I heard
Florida.
I heard it happened on Orange Blossom.
Okay. Orlando, the guy that was driving the car was killed by gunfire, and he took a bullet to the shoulder.
Wow.
4 a.m. in the morning. What is he out at 4 a.m. in the
morning?
What is
he doing out at Orange? Let me tell you something. Orange Blossom is nothing but a haven. It's nothing but toothless prostitutes. There is nothing else. Toothless prostitutes and drugs.
Really?
There is nothing else going on. Of course.
That tells you what he was doing, you know?
Ask Sean the Mick. When they come down here for wrestling shows, Sean the Mick and Trent Acid and all those other Philadelphia cronies, they're always driving up in that Orange Blossom looking for prostitutes or something.
Hilarious. Hey, you want to take a call? We got a call.
Sure.
All right, let's patch him through. Hey, caller, 407 area code. I think you're down in Florida, too. What's the name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is the ghost of Frank Goodman's career. Oh, my God, Frank. I've been listening to you whine about wrestling shows for the last 20 minutes, man.
You've been listening to me whine about it for the last year, you moron.
You're killing me, Frank. I swear to God, my balls are freaking weeping for you right now, Frank. Oh.
Yeah, well, you hear me telling you that all the time.
I that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, my goodness. These people down here, they don't understand, and the fans are horrible. You know what? I'm going to get you. I'm going to start playing the violin for you, Frank.
Whoa, Tony. I never said the Florida fans were horrible. The Florida fans are different. Let me tell you, there's a core group of you guys in Florida, and I've told you this. There's you, there's Mike Burnett, there's a couple of the guys that come with Mike Burnett, there's the moron with his belt who has something seriously wrong with him. You know, Tony, there's a core group of you guys that are amazing fans, but it's different. You're a different type of fan. You know?
I was calling about the guy that got shot.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, just because you're, like, sitting home at night, he's not lying about OBT, which is Orange Blossom Trail. He really is not lying, people.
Yeah.
When I come from the gym, okay, even during the day, you know what the international sign for OBT is? If somebody walks up to your car and asks you if you got a cigarette, and it's followed by the words, "Are you police?" then you know she ain't selling Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, and it's disgusting, you know?
Oh, it's you have to see some of these street demons that walk up and down that street. I don't know, though. You know, it depends on where do you get shot on OBT. Did anybody say, do you get it down, like, in the Rosemont area? Did he get it up in by, where'd this happen? I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. OBT is a huge street.
Yeah, I'm looking through the ESPN article. It doesn't say specifically.
He was looking for some hooker. He was out looking for a hooker.
I have no doubt about that. So Tony, what did you do this?
So, Frank, my question for you, okay, now that this isn't like the Disney thing where I have to be really nice, do some of these Disney junkies drive you nuts? This is my question.
Be honest.
You,
Tony, I'm with you 4 to 5 days a week in the morning. You know some of them drive me out of my mind.
I just want you to publicly come out and say that some of these people are straight up freaking wackos.
Listen, let me tell you something. You know, 99% of the people in the Disney junkie group is amazing. But then all of a sudden you have, like, I'll give you for instance. Last night, somebody joins the group. I'm going to make an imaginary time up. He joined at 8:01 p.m., okay? By 8:08, I have a message, a private message. Mr. Goodman, I have consolidated a list of 11 people that I have noticed in the last 8 minutes bullying others, harassing others, and I feel each of them should be reprimanded and then banned from your site immediately. Or I don't think I can stay here another 8 minutes. I get crap like that every day. Every single day. You know? I mean, what are you supposed to do? And look, you know, I sell the Disney World Junkie t-shirts, right? And I love selling the shirts to everybody, and I love that everybody wears them. But then you get the person who will write to me and say, how much are the shirts? I tell them. I'm coming in 5 weeks. And I say, well, it usually takes about 4 weeks. I can rush it if you need be. No, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Then they write to me. I just checked into the resort. My shirt wasn't waiting for me. I say, well, you didn't pay for a shirt. Oh, I had to pay for it in advance. You know, this is the type of, you know, yeah, those type people drive me out of my mind. And you know they drive me out of my mind.
Yeah, but I see, I wanted you to publicly say it because you come off as the sweetheart, if they only knew just how rotten and miserable you truly were.
Hold on, wait a minute. Tony, I've actually written in the group that I'm a miserable malcontent of a person. But you have to listen. I have to be honest. Tony, I like I said, when me and you first met, you've heard the things I said. I would call everybody a fat slob. I would call everybody a retard. I would say terrible things. I never, ever call people fat anymore. You know that. I don't. You know?
Oh, my goodness. You have, let's see, it took you all of 65 years to actually not call somebody fat?
Tony, I feel bad because here I see a fat slob like you, and I say to myself,
oh, I knew it was coming.
Tony's my friend, and he's worked so hard to lose. What have you lost, Tony? Tony's lost 400 pounds, and now you're only obese. And if you see the thing, Tony, that you can take shots at me all you want, and I'm going to leave you alone, you know.
You want to call me. That's all right, you and your nose, but I won't talk about it. I mean, when I work out with you, the oxygen just gets sucked out of the air, but we won't talk about that.
I talk about my nose all the time.
You and your beak there.
Listen, one thing is you need to be comfortable in accepting to who you are. I have accepted that I am a miserable malcontent with a large nose. I've lost my hair. I can't see my penis. What do you want from me? I don't say these things.
Oh, man, I was going after the hair next, but you beat me to it.
But the thing is, in the time that, all kidding aside, in the year that I've spent with Tony, you know, Tony and I have become good friends, and I say to myself, well, if my good friend is as big as Tony is, you know, 972 pounds, too big to even be on, Tony's too big to even be on my 600-pound life. But I say to myself, if Tony's my friend and he's so large, why would I make fun of somebody who is heavy if one of my friends is like that? And I just said, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore, and I stopped. And I just stopped.
I know, that,
you
that's
know
almost like you.
True.
That's almost like you telling everybody you're only 50 years old when you're probably, what, about 65, 66? You look about 85,
right.
But...
Very, very nice. Yes, very nice.
Oh, you got
that. Sorry.
Okay, you got some wrinkles on your face. You're getting those, you know, you're getting those crow's feet under your eyes. I'm accepting you.
I have a stupid goddamn wrinkle on my face from that stupid sleep apnea machine, which
See,
I
See, this is what he tells
stand.
Everybody, folks. He tells everybody, oh, it's from the sleep
it's
apnea,
true.
Man. No, it's from it's for the fact that you're getting
face.
Senile. I'm telling you, senile is the first thing.
I don't deny the senility, but it's digging in my face. This mask is the worst thing ever. It digs in your face.
Yeah, the mask did the wrinkles, yeah. It wasn't the fact that you're 67 years old, but, yeah, just the mask.
Very nice. Very.
Oh,
keep
all
right. Your IQ, Tony. Keep talking on your IQ.
200, my friend, 200.
All right, Tony.
All right.
Listen, so you'll have to write me 75 times tonight. I'll see you at 9:30 in the morning, okay?
9:30, which you'll change it to 9:15 probably within 5 seconds, but okay.
No, 9:30.
All right,
no,
goodbye.
Bye-bye,
there,
bye, Tony.
Frank.
I'll see you later, Tony.
Goodbye, Mike. God bless you for having to put up with it,
Take
man.
Care.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. See what I deal with? People have no clue what I deal with.
He is hilarious.
You know, Mikey, you know that you're on the downside of life. What if somebody who's 913 pounds makes fun of you? It's almost, yeah, Tony, I got you. Ah, see? And you can't yell back at me. That's all right. Mikey, so who else we got? We got any other calls?
No, that's
I hate
enough.
To think that he's the only one.
Oh, my God. So since the last time we were here, we had the Netanyahu speech. Do you have any comments about that?
No, Mikey, why don't you take it? Because I'm just so I'm so aggravated that somebody who let's forget the Jewish thing for a minute. Totally, let's forget it.
Okay.
You know, I'm half Jewish. You're all
mm-hmm.
Jewish. Let's forget
right.
that this guy, you know, is Jewish and was disrespected, okay? Because if he was black and disrespected, if this was an African guy, I'm telling you, all hell would break loose in the country. But
of course.
Here you have a guy, right, who is terrified that his country will be destroyed. If this deal goes through, everybody in that country's dead.
Right.
Everybody's dead. This guy comes out, makes an amazing speech. I mean, God, if an American president should be making the speech he made. He comes out, mm-hmm. he makes an amazing speech. I'm so shocked that he was disrespected by all the Democrats. Because
right.
I never view all Democrats. I never view Democrats as being horrible. I view their leader as being horrible. And they just support their party. But by doing this, you're spitting in this guy's face. You're spitting in Israel's face. An ally. I mean, think of this. Radical Islamic Muslims are chopping off people's heads, right? And
mm-hmm.
this guy's speech, a speech in which in no way, Mikey, did he insult America or say anything but nice things about America. Is that true?
Absolutely. That's how he started the speech,
he
by praising Obama and...
He said nothing but good things about Obama, nothing but good things about this country, nothing but good things about everybody in this country. And he's being treated worse. There's a bigger uproar on this speech than these people chopping people's heads off. I don't understand. Forget that this is an ally. This guy's trying to come out and say, hey, guys, please, don't do this. Save my country. My people will be murdered. I mean, they will go there and blow them up. That's what they're saying. It's not speculative.
Right. They're telling you exactly what they plan on doing.
They're telling you they're going to do this.
It's
crazy.
It's so unbelievable. And my wife, who's not into, you know, world politics the way we are, she and she's a Democrat, which is going to be changing very soon. She's just disgusted with the Democrat Party, with the way the leaders are treating this guy, and it's I couldn't believe. Wait, did you hear that? I just lost my thought.
No.
I can't believe that the way they just after his speech was over, their response was just it was disgusting, it was rude, it was condescending, and I mean I couldn't believe that actual leaders like elected leaders were speaking like this about somebody.
It's crazy.
An ally. If they were talking about like the Ayatollah Khomeini, okay, I understand. But they're talking about an ally.
I know, it's mind-boggling. Somebody who loves this country, another guy who wants, you know, I don't know. It's Mikey, the whole thing is just so bad.
It makes no sense, and it's scary. It's really scary, because if Hillary Clinton gets the nomination and she becomes the next president, I don't know if we could ever recover. It's going to be a bad situation.
I'm not getting the whole thing with them. You know, with the Clinton thing, I've never seen anybody as untouchable as the Clintons. It's as if they're royalty. She laughs in everybody's face.
Yeah. It's
crazy. She really
does. And now she has another scandal with the email situation, using her personal emails to send State Department information. Nothing's going to happen. Going to happen. And the people that are go out and vote, they're going to be like, oh, it's no big deal. It's just emails. You know? It's just...
I know.
If that was George Bush that did that, forget about it.
Yeah, of course. It's crazy. I don't know. So much of it is just... It's beyond me comprehending. I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
I wish I could explain it. I don't know if it's like low information voters or if it's like people that are just stupid or what. Or maybe it's brainwashed.
You know,
like they all think the Republican Party is this evil people.
I always said I don't care who's on my Facebook page. I just don't want to. I mean, if you support Obama, you just, you know, just I don't want to hear about it. But now I say to myself, if you're going to write things, like I read the other day, I don't remember who it was. It was a celebrity friend of mine who was black, and he's writing what a great leader Obama is. And I said to myself, I don't want you on my page anymore. You know, how do you rationalize that? How do you rationalize that? You know, it's crazy. We're told that we dislike Obama. We dislike Obama because he's black. That's what people like to tell us, right? People like to keep saying that. That's why we don't like him. I don't like him because he sucks. Okay, but we're supposed to like. But these people forget that they're only voting or only supporting him because he's black. I just don't know what to say half the time. It drives me nuts. It upsets me. You know, Dylan's trying to talk to me about this in the car yesterday. And he's like, Daddy, I don't understand. He goes, don't people see the terrible things that he says and does? And I tell Dylan, I don't want to talk about it. You know?
Right.
You know, and I feel bad because I think he wants to talk about it. You know? So I don't know.
Right, well, that's something that you have to do eventually, you know?
Yeah.
So our buddy Josh Greenfield is living it up in Mexico right now. And he sent me a message to tell you, first time in a long time.
Josh. Gina, everybody that listens knows. What does Josh ask me? Tell me what he asked me, Mikey.
To set up a fantasy baseball league.
Mikey, is it set up?
Yep.
Okay, Josh, $75.
How many guys are we short right now? How many more do we need?
Oh, Mikey, we're going to do a second league.
We're going
to do a second league. Yeah. The first league's almost filled up.
Wow.
But it's
nice.
Filled
That's
up
awesome.
So quick. Yeah, we'll definitely do a second one. Don't worry.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Frank, I'm having trouble viewing the page. Yeah, because you're banned. Because you keep posting stuff I tell you not to. You know?
Yeah.
Why am I banned? I love this one. I don't let you, you know, if you're a travel agent, all I ask is please don't solicit, don't sell.
Well, I didn't sell. I just told them to private message me.
Yes, so you can sell them. You know?
Well, I don't see the harm in telling you, you know, I don't know. Drives me out of my mind.
I don't know. Do we have any other callers?
Say again?
Callers. We have any callers?
Callers. No, no other callers right now. We
what
have a couple
hell
people in the guest room.
I'm going to use one of these Disney bathrooms here.
Oh, nice.
All right, so let's walk.
Pair it up, baby. Pair it up.
You got to go. But these damn water pills, what are you supposed to do? Are we doing these shows for ourselves, or do people actually listen?
No, no, they're listening. They're listening. We get, you know what? We're getting a the uncensored show. We had a lot the first episode. Second episode,
right.
We had that problem where people couldn't call in. Oh, people couldn't listen from the website, but we solved that. But
right.
There you go. I heard that.
What's that? Well,
but the Disney podcast, you're getting thousands of listeners. It's unbelievable.
Well, we're going to do Disney Monday at noon, right?
Yes, sir. You heard A-Rod played third base today, first time.
How'd he do?
He did pretty good. He said that his quote was, it's not going to be an Ozzie Smith year, which I don't understand.
Oh, that's great.
Ozzie Smith is a shortstop.
Let me ask you something. Does A-Rod want to be released? I mean, who said that? Mikey, who was that? That I think it was Dave Kingman was playing first base, and
uh-huh.
I forget his name. I think it was Guerrero. What was his name on the Dodgers?
Pedro Guerrero.
I can't remember. I might have been Pedro
yes.
Guerrero.
Sorry,
and
Pedro Guerrero.
He was playing third base for a while, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, he's third base and outfield.
And they said to him. They said, what do you think when the balls hit to you? He said, well, first I said, I hope they don't hit it to Dave Kingman. Then he said, I hope they don't hit it to me. Who had an issue on the team? Who are those people on the team that are telling you they suck?
Right. Dave Kingman was the only player in Major League Baseball history at the time to play for a team in each of the four divisions back then in one season.
Hold on one second. I got to take my earplugs out.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Hold on. I'll tell you something. I think I'm the only person that takes his shirt off when I go to the bathroom.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, it must be hot.
Well, you know what it is? When I wear my tank tops, because
uh-huh.
of my Herculean physique, When I wear my tank tops, you know, I have to wear like 3 and 4 XL because my upper boobies are so large
mm-hmm.
that they hold the shirt up. So the shirts are actually long and go past my wiener. So I'm afraid of peeing on my shirt. And sometimes I'll put the shirt and tuck it under my chin. But, you know. What can I tell you, Mike? I got a lot of
quirks,
you know. I got a whole
lot
of issues, you know.
Yeah, you're telling me, man. I've had so many problems lately with health-wise, and you know, since I have diabetes, I have to use the bathroom all the time. So, like, every, like, 45 wow. minutes or so, I'm wanting to take a leak in the bathroom. God forbid
Mikey,
somebody's
I'm
in my way.
This is no joke. I promise I'm telling everybody the absolute truth. When I was at Epcot today...
Uh-huh.
But we got to Epcot at about 8:30, right? After we dropped my wife at the airport. I would say
yeah.
by 10 o'clock, I stopped and urinated no less than like 10 times. And I know it sounds like, oh, my God, this guy has some kind of real issues.
Uh-huh.
It actually is not. It's you know, the blood pressure pills have a water pill in it. And, you know, when you're old, you go to the bathroom a lot. And also, the water pills make it 10 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Hey, I forgot to tell you, if anybody calls from a 407 number, make sure
yeah.
you take the call pretty quick. Because
okay.
Willie and Dylan are probably going to call me when they're walking to me.
Oh, okay. Oh, then it's going to call the hotline.
Well, you just can't call the phone because I can't answer it, dumbass, can I?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were speaking about Samoa Joe before. There's rumors that he's about to sign with the WWE.
Really?
Dude, yeah.
I'm
here.
I'm actually surprised because there's such WWE is such a condition freak. They want you in, like, such, you know, chiseled out of stone condition.
Right.
They usually don't go that route.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, hey, you know,
yeah,
the guy's been working hard his whole life, so.
Yeah, he was talking to Chris Jericho on Jericho's podcast and said that there's possible negotiations going on. You know, but the,
like,
yeah,
you know,
we'll see, though.
I
hope it'll mess him up.
I like to talk about the old-time stuff we used to do, but really, I don't like wrestling. I really
How funny is it that me, you, and Sean are both so over wrestling and just disgusted with it, you know?
It's crazy. We ruled independent wrestling. And I just don't like it, you know? My kids got so turned off on it.
Right, and
you know?
We were made out to be all the bad guys back then, you know?
Oh, I loved being the bad guy back then. That was
good. Yeah, which is fine, but in hindsight, though, not even in hindsight, but the reality was is that we were as normal as it got. All those guys were the
animals.
Although Sean wasn't as normal.
Jeez, I don't know how Sean got so into hockey, do you?
Well, he was always a hockey fan, but now he's on the next level. He's really like a freak about it.
I thought he just became a hockey fan.
No, he's been a Ranger fan for a while, but I guess, you know, now that, you know, he has the outlet with Facebook and Twitter and everything else, he's able to express it a little bit more. He actually loses friends because of it, because he has arguments about the Rangers.
Does he really?
And he wants to, yeah.
So, Mikey, tell me what you think of the whole Jet thing.
What, our whole team?
Yeah, I mean, tell me what you think of what's going on. Like, well, we just did the big trade, and, we have a great, great malcontent receiver to go along with our malcontent quarterbacks. But here's my question. I'm hearing way too much talk that we're considering trading the number 6 pick for Nick Foles.
Really?
And I've heard it in multiple places. And I got to tell you something. The Eagles just traded LeSean McCoy away and got nothing. Am I right?
Yeah. Correct.
Now, if I was a Jet fan, I would take Philadelphia's first-round pick, I would take LeSean McCoy, and I would have taken Nick Foles for the number 6 pick. You can't take a okay quarterback and give up the number 6 pick. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm hearing, and it's bothering me. And I'm hearing it more than one place.
What's interesting too is that
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and now there's in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he's got the Jets picking at number 6, the Oregon quarterback, Mariota, I think his name is.
Well, yeah, but that's what
Marcus.
I've been hearing for a while. That's what I've been hearing for a while. So, I mean, I'm hoping it's true. Hey, Mikey, with the two stud receivers we have right now, and the way Tebow looks, I don't know why I'm so the minority. Give me Tebow. I'm okay with it.
I was excited when we signed him. When we brought him
I was excited.
And
I was too, and I think me and you actually liked Sanchez, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I was cool with Sanchez. I just got very frustrated with, he would throw a lot of interceptions in the red zone. And then the butt fumble was just, it might go down in history as the worst play ever.
It was weird, but, you know, those two seasons where Sanchez took us to the AFC Championship game, I was saying to myself, marginal quarterback, but one of the best quarterbacks in the league at the time running the two-minute drill.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. Marginal for the whole game. But when he was running a fast-paced two-minute drill, it was unreal. We knew we were going to score. And then all of a sudden, it stagnated. And it didn't happen anymore. But, of course, what happened is he had no running back. He had no receiver. See, it's funny. I'll tell you a funny thing, and I hate to bring up the black and white thing again, but I'm going to. Only because it's black commentators that are saying this. Well, Geno Smith had
it's not even close. Sanchez had nothing.
He had nothing. The good thing was when he had Tomlinson and he could do the little dump off passes. But
mm-hmm.
that didn't last that long.
Right.
You know?
Right. And now I'm reading that the Eagles are about to sign Frank Gore. So Gore's leaving San Francisco and heading to Philly.
So, you know, you have to say to yourself, collusion. Don't you? Tampering.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Would you have traded McCoy not knowing that you're getting Frank Gore right away? I mean, just
of course
they
not.
Knew
they
what was happening.
Right, but if Gore is an unrestricted free agent, then they could have, you know, it wouldn't be collusion at that point, I would think.
But is he? I thought he's still the property of the 49ers.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. And you know what also gets me crazy, too, is we have $57 million to play with, and we weren't even mentioned in the Ndamukong Suh bidding wars, you know? Now he's signing with Miami, and now we got to face this animal twice a year.
I never quite understand why people sign with Miami, because there's never any hope.
Right.
You know? There's never any hope to win.
There's never any hope with us either, you know?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I want cover. And I even said to you, Mikey, I don't care if we win the Super Bowl. At this point right now, I just want some really cool 34-27 games. That's the right now. Just let me be excited. I can win in a couple years. Just let me be excited. Let me see a quarterback just start throwing for some 300-yard games.
Right.
That's all I want.
Yeah, I don't want the game to be over in the first quarter. Yeah, the games are over in the first quarter. It's like watching the Knicks play, you know? Like, you know there's just no chance.
You know, Mikey,
it's absolutely horrible.
Mikey, how bad do you feel now that 15 years ago we were saying, get Ewing out of town?
Yeah.
Right? We're saying, get Ewing out of town. Mikey, I would take Ewing right now at 60.
Right now.
Look, I was so excited to get Phil Jackson until I found out he was going to be the general manager.
Right.
You know, the guy doesn't want to travel for the games.
Really, because he's got back injury.
Yeah, he doesn't travel with the team. He doesn't do anything. You know, he did the right thing in signing Anthony because, you know, as much as we're upset that Anthony's so selfish and, of course, hurts, we would have been 10 times more upset if we got nobody.
Right.
But he puts people
in the seats.
He does put people in the seats. But I'm just, the coaching, you know, the coaching choice wasn't good. You know, how could you not get Steve Kerr? I mean, it was
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I think they went after him, but he chose the better situation, you know?
I thought the scenario was Kerr said he would take the job like Belichick did and then left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? People forget that. Belichick's a piece of shit. Just like Parcells.
Right. All right, we got a caller. 315...
I have a caller!
315 area code. 315. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Frank, I want to call you back because I actually have something legit to say this time.
Oh, my God.
No, listen. No, please, listen.
We have no listeners.
You said something about Samoa Joe. I wanted to disagree with you on that.
All right.
If you look at WWE in the last 2 years, now you admit you haven't watched WWE in a while. If you look at WWE for the last 2 years, they've made good with Bray Wyatt, who doesn't fit the normal mold. He's about 300 pounds. They've also brought over Kevin Steen, a.k.a. Kevin Owens, and he's basically the most popular guy in NXT. They have a guy by the name of Bull Dempsey, who's not – he's built more like Dr. Death Steve Williams, where he's got just that big – I mean, so they're bringing over guys like Samoa Joe lately, and they're working out really good.
Hold on now. I don't know if they're working out really good or if they're getting top spots, but Tony – numbers are down everywhere. WWE numbers are down, Tony, everywhere. They're down everywhere because, Tony, the numbers are down everywhere because there are no superstars. These are indie guys. These are career indie guys. Now, the Wyatt thing, I see something there, so I'm not going the route of saying that's what they are. But, and look, Daniel Bryan's cool. He does cool stuff. The fans cheer him and all that. But the fact is, these are all indie guys. CM Punk, too. These are all career indie guys, Tony. And when the WWE was getting those huge numbers when they were going against WCW and everything, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were getting ratings that were three times what they are now.
No, I'm just talking about like bringing over someone that looks like Samoa Joe. I'm just saying that they do
have a few guys. I don't think it's a bad thing, because you said that McMahon just likes those chiseled and stone.
Yeah, but you said that you like McMahon likes those chiseled and stone guys. Well, he's lately he has about 3, 4, 5 guys that look like Samoa Joe now. So I can
understand
why they would bring him over.
That's what I mean.
I'm not saying he's going to be a big superstar or they're creating superstars. What I'm saying is, you know, you have a guy like Bray Wyatt, you have Kevin Owens, a.k.a. Kevin Steen, you have, you know, guys that aren't fitting the chiseled, you know, I look like a bodybuilder mode anymore. You know, so he does have a few guys, so Samoa Joe might fit in because they have guys that look like him now.
Okay. All right, Tony, you got to take care of somebody. I hear somebody honking their horn waiting for their fries.
I'll tell Disco Inferno you said hello. He's on drive-thru right now.
All right, Mikey. Hi. I'm just picking my kids up.
We got about 8 minutes left in the show.
Okay, all right. 8 minutes. 8 minutes is enjoyable. So do we have any callers other than Tony listening?
No, there are no callers on, but there's definitely people listening.
There's so many callers. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. I figured
we went
back to
just
Sunday
me
night.
You talking on the phone and nobody's listening to us.
That would be horrible. Well, actually, it wouldn't be so horrible. I enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, but you're annoying.
Yeah,
you're
yeah. Talking. Hey, but listen, check it out. Keep an eye open, man. I sent you a package. You're gonna get something in the mail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like what? Is it Canisius?
No, it's not Canisius. I sent you the Spider-Man Peter Parker vinylation.
Oh, thanks, Mikey. Thank you.
Yeah, you
I
got
have to
it.
Check with
no
Ken.
Problem.
Now, listen,
I sent it out yesterday.
I promise you I'm not making this up. So I hope Kat didn't forget it home. But she did have a vinylation put away for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she, we went to that, where they go for the, where the cast members go to get the cheap stuff that's on discount.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
she
nice.
Found some Vinylmations in boxes. But, Mikey,
yay.
When we hang up, I will text you Kat's number. And you call her up. And I do not want your wife near my commissions. You know? Now, Mikey, do we have to talk about that John wrestling? Because we spend way too much time on wrestling. I hate wrestling.
Wait, hang on.
Now,
hey,
what do I do?
You did it, tell her.
Hello?
Who the hell is this?
Who's this?
I don't know. Who's this, baby?
This is my favorite 200-pound wrestler.
200 pounds? My wiener's 200 pounds. I'm 260-something pounds. Where do you get 200 pounds from?
I don't know. I didn't want to make you feel bad. It was trying to be nice.
My children are 200 pounds, you Knish stealer.
I am a Knish stealer.
See, you admitted it. You just said it. You're a Knish stealer.
I swear to God, I said 5. I said 6. They gave me 5.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't even remember
the
numbers, but don't feel bad. I don't remember what I did yesterday.
I told Mikey my wife's in the city right now. I'm going to text her phone number to you guys so you can call her now.
Okay.
Her because she's only because she's coming home Tuesday.
Okay, perfect.
All
maybe
right.
Tomorrow
yeah,
we
so
can, like, yeah, my sister-in-law is here, so I can make her babysit. I can meet her or something.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely text you the number right away, and I'll see you in a couple months where you can wear one of your cool-looking bathing suits in the pool.
Yeah, right. My fat girl bathing suits, definitely.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I'll talk to you soon. Hold on.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Wait, I didn't realize what a sexy voice you might have had. I thought it was on one of those old-time sex chat lines. So, I'm stating the facts, baby. So, Mikey, have you booked any more of your Disney trip?
Yeah, we actually, I think all of our meals are already planned out. I'm not exactly sure what the rundown is. I got to go over it, and maybe I'll tell you about it tomorrow during the Disney stuff. Because I don't know. Stephanie's the one who has all that information.
Okay. How are we doing on time?
Let's see. We have 3 minutes and 13 seconds. 4 minutes and 13 seconds.
What's going on in this chat room? Is there anybody chatting?
There's nobody chatting, but there's people in there. Well, there's two people in there now. GG Harris TV.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
Joshua. Joshua hasn't called.
Yeah, well, you know, he created his own Disney group. You saw that, right?
Ugh, yeah. I tell everybody, what do I say? Don't send me any of your stupid game requests. And don't add me to goddamn groups without my permission. So what does he do?
Right,
he has both my profiles to his dumb group. What is it, me, you, and him?
He sends me a message. Can I add you to my group? And I was like, nah, don't worry about it. I'll join it later. And he added me to the group.
Well, I'm unadding myself later. What do you think of them apples, you know?
I think I might have done that already.
Hey, I forgot to tell you, Joshua took a stand. He told those people that he's going to be friends with me, Willie, and part of the junkies. And if Smeller and the 1,000-pound women don't like it, that's the deal.
Good for him, man. Good for him.
Yeah, he stood
about time.
And he even bought himself a junkie shirt. It only took him a month to figure out how to use PayPal.
And did he figure out that he needed to speak to you to get the junkie shirt?
He did. He finally figured it out. He figured it out. That kid's a piece of work, you know?
He is. He's a good kid, though. He's a good kid.
I'll tell you, me and these boys, we're lost without my wife. You know, I went to the supermarket. I'm buying salami. All the stuff I'm not supposed to eat because of my blood pressure.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know how much to buy. I bought 2 pounds of salami. I think that's not good. I think that's too much.
Oh, man. Oh,
you know?
Boy. All right. We're at the 2 minute mark. You got any last words for these the three people listening?
I got no words. I'm sitting here in shock. I'm in shock. We usually have all these people calling. Nobody's listening. Nobody's calling.
You know what's funny? We spent the last hour and a half complaining. That's what we did.
That's all we do.
I know, it's great.
I love
it.
We had no calls. You know why, Mikey? Because I spent too much goddamn time talking about wrestling. And these people in Brazil don't like wrestling. I don't like wrestling.
Right.
You know, I don't want to talk about wrestling anymore. We'll talk about other stuff. I mean, pooping's
all right.
You got to talk about pooping. All right.
Of course.
Tomorrow, Monday, 12 noon, Disney World Junkies podcast. But it won't matter because I don't know if anybody's listening there. I have to find that out.
Right?
All right.
All right. We'll talk later.
I am the Mesh Maniac, and that's Mikey. And I'm going to send you the phone number right now, Mike. Tell your wife
great,
to call
thanks,
my
Mike.
Wife tonight.
I will.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Are you the guys on the beach who hate everything? Is this some sort of...